Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday. It'll be airing on April 11th, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
So we're heading into the spring, and we're getting some beautiful days, by the way, in Colorado now. It's getting warmer, and probably another snowstorm or two coming. And you guys just had some snow, right?
Spring snow is not so bad, right? No. I mean, it does go away quickly, at least. It's just a teaser. But we did have a little more snow. They get it more in the mountains than we do. So, I mean, we had Monday was a kind of a nasty day, but you know, and then it was gone. So they're still working on the porch. They broke ground on the porch a couple days ago, and I am looking forward to the days that it is done and I'm sitting in the sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah. So your porch is getting built?
Yes. Yeah. So we're just 3 days in, so pretty early, but it's going well so far, and we're excited to see what God does with it.
When do they expect to finish it?
You know, I am hoping for the under-promise, over-deliver idea, but they are saying 3 months right now. Realistically, like from what we've heard, it's more of a 6 to 8 week project, but I think with everything that's going on in the world, even just with supply chains and, you know, different worker issues and whatever, they pad that time. So I am hoping that it is here sooner than that, but I'll take it in 3 months too. That's fine. Yeah.
Are they having any trouble with materials?
Not so far. I mean, literally we're 3 days in. They've dug the post and poured the cement on the like footings or whatever you call it. I don't know what all these terms are, but yeah. So there's footings down there and there's rock laid. That's what I know. I know I had a big digger that took out my big cherry tree. So or Japanese maple. No, it was Japanese maple that had to go. I was kind of sad to see that tree go, but I'm excited for the porch.
So see, everybody, you're learning something new about Kathy is she's not a expert in construction.
Not at all.
Yeah, they're pouring footers or they're pouring cement over something down there.
And it's supposed to hold something into place.
It's supposed to hold it up.
What I do know is that they are prayed over because God has told me to be praying over these workers. So they are being prayed over constantly.
Yeah, that's good. Well, as we, we've had Denny and Eric and Rabbi on, and we'll have them continually join us with, you know, their perspective on Israel. Of course, lots of things going on in Israel. Denny kind of summarized it the last time. If you think of, you know, keep thinking Israel and the battles on different fronts with different groups. Mm-hmm. So in the south, it's Gaza. And that's the land between Israel and Egypt that is controlled by Hamas. And of course, Hamas did that attack, you know, October 7th, a couple of years ago. And, and of course, Israel has gone in and basically decimated Hamas.
Right.
But we got to keep remembering that, and it'll be different up in the north side, but it's not like Hamas is like this small group that is running the country and everybody else would rather they not. It's all the population is part of that sect. Mm-hmm. And they all want. So that's why Hamas is one that's probably not going to go away, but they've been neutralized and they've had the hostages exchanging and they're down to about 25 hostages right now. And of course, Hamas doesn't want to give them over because that's their leverage. Mm-hmm. But there's not much going on down there in terms of battles and fights, and Hamas is not attacking Israel. It's really more about what to do with that area.
Right.
But Israel is at the moment is just watching it, you know, and they have people down there. Yeah, they described something that was interesting to me. Israel established two corridors. Think of it, interesting enough, in a cross.
Okay.
So it's east and west and north and south, and they travel in that corridor with you know, tanks and people and et cetera and cars. And they watch what's going on in Gaza from those quarters.
Okay.
And so it's interesting that they're there doing that, but they're basically just observing. So on the north side, Hezbollah is a group that is really separate from Lebanon government. Mm-hmm. And Lebanon would rather they not be there. They would just Lebanon itself and the people of Lebanon would just rather have.
So two very different situations, actually, although there's a lot of similar philosophy, two different situations in terms of the population.
Yeah. And again, remember, we've set up over time the fundamental difference between Sunni and Shiite. Mm-hmm. The Shiites are the extremist.
Right.
And they would like to eliminate everybody. Interesting enough, they would like to eliminate the Sunnis. Mm-hmm. Because they think they're the purest and they're supposed to kill everybody and eliminate everybody except them and rule the world. That's their premise. Hamas is Sunni. Mm-hmm. But they're an extreme sect of Sunni that in essence have joined the Shiite sect because they're funded by Iran, which is Shiite. Mm-hmm. But they're really Sunni. It's interesting, but they're acting as if they're Shiites and they're performing with that. On the north, Hezbollah is Shiite. Lebanon is a country that would rather have peace, but Hezbollah has established a foothold there. And when you hear about the attacks from Lebanon, it's really not the country of Lebanon, it's the Hezbollah.
Interesting. Okay.
Because of the corruption and because of the power, Lebanon allows them to stay there. And they were occupying the southern border of Lebanon, which is the northern border of Israel. And they lobbed all these missiles and set. And I don't know if our audience remembers, and Denny sent us the picture of the entire north border of Israel
setting
on fire.
That all on fire. Right.
And so what they've done is, and they originally had agreed with the United Nations to have Hezbollah operate what's called north of the Atani River, which is far enough where they can't lob these missiles into northern Israel. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they went in, Israel, attacked Hezbollah on the southern border, which, by the way, they have the same tunnel system that they have in Gaza, and they pushed them back behind the Atani River. And now Israel has forces in between in Lebanon trying to observe them. And Hezbollah has basically gone silent, meaning they're not attacking anymore. And Israel is trying to bring their people back to the northern border.
Right.
So all they're doing there is observing because there's no attack going on. Okay. So that is south and north on the, interesting enough, it's called the West Bank, but it's on the eastern side of Israel, which is funny. It's really the West Bank because it's West Jordan.
Oh, interesting.
West of Jordan. So that's why it's called the West Bank. And that is occupied by the Palestinian Authority that has not been attacking Israel per se, and they've had kind of a peaceful coexistence. Mm-hmm. Now there's rumblings that they're starting to gear up toward having new attacks again. Hmm. So Israel, by the way, has sent troops and tanks into the West Bank.
Wow.
And they basically just said, hey, if I was you, I wouldn't do what you're about ready to do, because we're going to be here. We're here already and we're showing our force and you know what we can do. So they're trying to keep that at bay, but that's another potential front.
Right.
On the west side, which is Jordan. And then behind it all, and by the way, on the north and then a little bit further to the east is Syria. And Syria is Shiite. And that's been their government has been overthrown, but it's been overthrown by extremists who Israel has troops in Syria on their border watching them. And they basically said, don't even think about it. Mm. And they're trying to just get their government together anyway. So they're at peace, so to speak. And then behind it all is Iran. Now, Iran is not next to Israel. Mm-hmm. So it's Jordan, then it's Iraq, and then it's Iran. Mm-hmm. So they're probably 700-800 miles away, but they fund all these
different... But they're the money behind a lot of it.
They're the money behind it, and they're threatening with nuclear weapons. And right now, Israel doesn't have any skirmishes going on. They've really silenced everybody with their force and protection, and they're watching then to see, to make sure they don't rise up again. But they know that Iran is behind it, and they're thinking maybe they're going to go in, and Trump would be part of this, in the United States, to try to eliminate the nuclear capability, which is Iran's developing nuclear weapons, which Israel said we're not going to let them happen because that'll destroy them. That's where the action's going to be. So we'll see how that goes. But that right now, we can kind of, when you keep thinking Israel and watch news, keep thinking Gaza, south, Hezbollah, Lebanon, north, Syria, north, West Bank, actually east, and then further east is Iran. And the action's going to be Iran. So everybody, if you pay attention and you're seeing the news, primarily look at what happens in Iran.
Interesting. Okay.
And what actions are going to happen. There's a threat that they will attack something. Israel will attack to try to eliminate their nuclear power. And Israel has great intelligence. So they kind of know where things are at and what they're going to do with it. And they're trying to engage Trump to support that.
Right.
Which would be an interesting, you know, thing to see how that plays out. So what we've been talking about in between these discussions of Israel is, well, what's happening in our country? And this is relative to, again, as we see the spiritual activity that is headed toward what we call the tribulation. And again, when Israel forms up as a nation, which they did in 47, and then they won the war in 67, that God said, that's the beginning of the end. And that generation will see the end. We've seen it, and we could say, well, that apparently we would be in the end. Of course, we can see signs and indications of that, which Jesus said to watch. And the one big one is that it's now public with the WEF, and you'll see here other things that are happening to establish a one world government. That will be the beginning of the tribulation. We're always in that tension of, well, yeah, that's what people for 2,000 years have been thinking.
Right.
And it never happened. And so that's why people kind of get lazy with it. Well, yeah, you know, you interpret it this way, but it really never happens anyway. So why bother with it? And Jesus said, well, remember, I want you to pay attention. And paying attention is, you know, see what's going on in your generation, but teach your next generation.
Yes.
So they can be aware of it, because someday it is going to happen. And they need to be aware.
Just that little thought, I think we need to hold on to the someday it is going to happen. I do think, like you said, we get so comfortable, even in the chaos, we get comfortable and we find ourselves believing that's just going to be sometime down the road if we're truly even believing it all.
Right.
And I think that's a real if a lot of times for Christians. I think they may say they believe it, but we don't live like we believe that we can take him at his word.
Right.
And time again, he does promise, I am coming back. These things will take place. And we need to learn to take him at his word and live as if, right?
Yeah, yeah. And think of, you know, the Old Testament is full of prophecies about the birth of Jesus and the coming of Christ and the Messiah. And they were in that same position is, well, the Bible says, but yeah, it hasn't happened in our generation.
Right.
But they were being told, you be observant and watch. And then there became a moment when it happened. And interesting enough, remember Zacharias, who was John's father, was a priest. And he was visited by an angel and said, here it is. Your son is going to be the one that's going to prepare the way for the Christ. The Messiah is coming. And then he goes to Mary and says, you're going to have the Messiah. And Joseph knew it and people knew it and they explained it. So there was beginning to be, so all those prophecies are happening right now. See, And then it happened in Bethlehem. Now, this is kind of cool. Think about at the birth of Jesus, what literally happened to the shepherds and to the people in around the area? Who shows up?
Well, angels show up and tell them and declare, hey, he's here. This is it. Let's go.
Yeah. So there was the angelic host proclaiming glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men for those who are following Christ, following God. So they make that announcement and the shepherds hear it. And of course, they go and they see. And then who else shows up? Well, the three princes, wise men from the east, kings who come and lay and worship, you know, Jesus, the Christ. So it all happened and they were in that same position. Well, it says it's going to happen. Is it really going to happen? Well, interesting enough, it does. See, so the Bible, we can receive it as absolutely true. We know there is a moment where the world flips upside down. One world government is established. But the tribulation starts, the Antichrist rises and he becomes in power and then he establishes himself as God. he lines up with Satan directly in the false prophet, mm-hmm. what's called the unholy trinity, with the goal of eliminating any semblance of God on earth. And because it looks to me, now again, it's not precise in scripture, but first of all, I do not think we're raptured prior to the tribulation. I think we're here. I think it's obvious that we're here because there's persecution and there's things that we have to deal with and face during the, particularly the first 3.5 years. It looks to me that the rapture is called mid-trib, and it said that, you know, we're taken out, but it's what it leaves is the Jews, Israel, who, by the way, at that time become believers in Christ, and they recognize Christ is the Messiah, and now we're called to be the last vestige of the Christianity and the Holy Spirit on earth. And of course, Satan is trying to eliminate Israel.
Right.
And come against it, because if he can have no Holy Spirit resident on earth, then he's got earth, mm-hmm. and that's its goal. So we can see that, you know, potentially happening. And as a result of that, and it's said many times in scripture, that good becomes evil and evil becomes good, mm-hmm. and even believers get duped
right
about this. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that further. Go to Colossians chapter 1 read verses 1 through 10.
Sure. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power.
Yeah, so he says that, and he's interesting, and when we talk about this quite a bit, that you, and he's saying, you know, to the Colossians and those in Laodicea, you are functioning as a community together. Mm-hmm. And together, I'm going to keep praying and encouraging you to be knit together in love and attaining to the fullness of the riches mm-hmm. of the knowledge of the mystery of God. And see, the mystery here, he's talking about Christ in you, mm-hmm. the hope of glory. You have direct access to the life of God through the Holy Spirit, who you are to hear his voice, to walk with him, and to encourage each other to walk with him mm-hmm. and discern God's will. And he says, in Christ, who's in you, is all the fullness of wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we bring up the issue of the end, which God says, I want you to pay attention, mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is stimulate that interest in wisdom. Okay, now think about just as we're thinking about the end times, and it's interesting because of what's happening in the world. As we seek wisdom, what is it that we're actually seeking? What are we looking for?
Instruction, if there's anything we need to be doing to prepare or to join the work that he's doing right now.
Right. It's where is this? Mm-hmm. What is our role in this? What are you up to? How do we join you in what you're up to? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the keys, which is why it's so critical right now, is that I think God is asking us to teach each other mm-hmm. and teach our children and our grandchildren that there will be things happening spiritually mm-hmm. that we need to understand and always follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, which is truth. And he says, be careful. If you have the fullness of God's wisdom, you'll know mm-hmm. how to interpret things. You'll know instruction. You'll know preparation. You'll know how to get ready and how to build community. And he says, I say this, and this is in verse 4, lest anybody deceive you with persuasive words. And so think of how can you be deceived with persuasive words?
Well, so often in that, well, first of all, it's who you're listening to. So there is that element of who are the voices around you. But then so often it is actually by not being directly intentional to be standing in truth. Because we just culturally, if we do nothing, we are impacted and influenced by culture, which would be persuasive words that are not founded on truth.
Yeah.
And so we have to be intentional to look to truth, period.
Yeah. And think of deception is the presentation of something that is false as true. Mm-hmm. And then if you aren't having the discernment, mm-hmm. you are persuaded, yeah, you know what? I think that is true.
Yeah.
But it's really not.
And it can sound really good.
Yeah.
Like it can actually make us, oh, like that sounds like a great idea, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know what truth is.
Yeah. And so deception, see, is not something, oh, yeah, of course, you know, I won't be deceived because I'll be able to know. And he says, well, if you're not walking with God, mm-hmm. you will be deceived and you'll think it's true. And so you won't call it deception mm-hmm. by definition. Why? Because I think it's true. Well, I'm not deceived. It's true. And God says, actually, you are because you're believing false. Mm-hmm. And I got to show you the difference between true and false. And so, you know, one of the things, like, for example, right now, you know, obviously we have a new administration and Trump is pro-business. And so there's a thought that, well, the economy is going to be really good. Well, underneath it, there are things that aren't so good. And mm-hmm. maybe instead of being a booming economy, we're headed into a recession.
Right.
And maybe we're actually starting to have one already, you know, and that's because of inflation, interest rates being high, demand is, the consumers are starting to get concerned. The debt level is so high that it's eaten away of our GDP. So, well, what? Well, we have to get to truth. We have to get to the facts about that. And because, and I was just talking to somebody yesterday that is dealing with a big business decision of, you know, because he's in real estate, so he's got some big decisions to make about the future. And we were just talking in general about following God and seeking God's wisdom. And he said, I came across an article that said that maybe we're going to have a recession coming up. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of, you know, went on. I said, wait a minute, stop a second. What did you read? You know, well, there's maybe a recession coming up. And so I said, now remember, if you're walking with God, like this is saying, mm-hmm. what God does is he alerts you. Mm-hmm. And says, let me help you discover something.
Give you a little heads up on something.
A heads up. Now, I didn't give you an answer about that yet, mm-hmm. but I raised it up. And because of what you're trying to discern, you now received a heads up. Mm-hmm. Now, I said, we don't have to presume the answer to that, but now dig into that. Mm-hmm. You got to go deeper in that and say, Father, give me wisdom, lead me to the truth, because he said, I have something to show you. And that's what we're trying to say is everybody, you know, don't just ignore mm-hmm. the things that God starts to present in front of you. And that's what we're trying to do is just present possibilities that if it strikes you and you look at something or you come across something that God will reinforce, pursue it further. Is like, right. Maybe I need to find out more about my company, you know, and how strong are they? And what do they think about the future? Mm-hmm. And are they investing? And are they hiring? Are they laying people off? And, you know, there's just things that we can start to be alert to, like, God's going to show me the truth about that and not be deceived. And we'll spend more time in this as we go in Colossians. But I would urge everybody, read Colossians chapter 2, 1 to 10. Start to unpack all the beautiful truth of that. But we'll get into that deeper about how is it then that we could be deceived mm-hmm. and what's required for us not to be deceived. Because the best place to be, obviously, is what? Walking with God in truth.
Right, right. And just a reminder. Even as we talk about this, just that little reminder that when he brings these alerts, we then don't take them and run with them on our own.
Right.
They're simply an invitation to dialogue with him, and he will reveal the wisdom, because we can deceive ourselves just by taking a nugget and deciding what we're going to do with it.
Right. Right.
As well. Yeah. And so there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly when we think of the potential of the end, it's easy to kind of jump into a, mm-hmm. therefore, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And of course,
so God says, I should.
Yeah, and I should. And God said, well, actually, I didn't say that.
Right.
And, you know, an example, there was a big church led by this Pastor Cho in Korea. And they had a million members. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was unbelievable. And they would gather in big groups and small groups. This is in late 80s. He was well known. And, you know, he was one that said he followed God and had great insight. And he came and said, I've heard that we're at the end, and everybody should just sell their stuff and come and let's just wait for it to happen, you know. And a lot of people did, and they sold their stuff and they went and waited. And of course, nothing happened. And he was a false prophet at that point because he added his own stuff into it.
Right.
And God's told us, you know, because we've made similar mistakes, you know, be careful not to add your own thing. So when we're presenting this every Friday, we just want to keep presenting information and not make our own conclusions about it other than pay attention. And when God prompts you, go spend more time on it. Right. And by the way, one of the most important things that is absolute is build a community.
Yes. That's
you need
huge.
To have people around you that looks at this, even if it's uncertainty of the world, and we're not at the end, but we're just in a deep level of uncertainty. Well, we need people around us to help us have God certainty.
Navigate that, right.
Navigate the truth of the will of that. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful truth of that you want us to be rooted by walking with you and not be deceived by empty things. So we just pray that we'll unpack that further. We'll understand the depth of that. And we just pray for all of us that we would never get deceived, but rather always live in the truth and understand that truth and be open to that truth. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.